It's just a PowerPoint clicker, right? But what we worked on was a scheme whereby the nurse in the room who's not scrubbed in, the so-called circulating nurse, could use a clicker standing by the patient with the anesthesiologist and the surgeon and the scrub nurses and lead a checklist process electronically on a board at the foot of the patient on the wall just by clicking. And when they're done, the system pushes that data into the system of record, into the EHR. So we've created something that's both engaged and real in terms of everyone focusing on the patient at that moment, the way the whole industry agrees should happen, yet is actually easier to do than treating it as yet another thing to document.
Jeff Robbins, welcome to 20 Minute Leaders. Thank you so much for joining my speaker series and fireside chats with awesome entrepreneurs, innovators, and investors. Very excited to sit with you and get to know your perspective and get to know your journey and your story in these 20 short minutes. And would love to kick things off with, you've spent many years in your company that you've been a part of. You're helping shape the health industry. You're talking about the integration of software healthcare, the experience of patients during what I saw on that I very much liked on your LinkedIn page, the perhaps one of the most important days of their lives. And so very curious to hear about both the founding story, but also a little bit about the pain point of the space and what you've experienced and acknowledged in this healthcare space. And so tell me a little bit about, what are we even talking about? What is this problem that we're in?
Sure. Let's jump right in. First of all, my name's Jeff Robbins. I'm founder and CEO of Live Data, a company I founded in 1991. So when you say I've been at this for a while, you are correct. And the problem that's really, first of all, that we really only became aware of partway through this journey with Live Data. Live Data established itself actually first as a small, respected, and trusted leader in real-time middleware on the electric power grid. And we were talking pre-recording about cybersecurity, and that was one of our kind of facets of our middleware was how do you help the industry move data back and forth in real time, reliably yet securely. Due to some, hard to avoid talking about a personal tragedy in my life, I pivoted the company from that real-time utility middleware to healthcare. I lost my middle son, Eitan, who was 18 years old, freshman in college. He had epilepsy. He was a freshman and died at college and unexpectedly. And it threw my life upside down. And, obviously, this is a hard thing to hear and talk about. And I don't want to dwell for your listeners, viewers. But when you look at the things that shape an entrepreneur's life, it always comes back to the personal. Something's going to drive you. And I determined then that I needed to do something as definitive as I could in the healthcare space to try to improve something about healthcare. I'm not an epilepsy expert. I'm not a doctor, nor a scientist. But having worked my whole career in real-time data integration, as I mentioned, the secure, reliable flow of information focused on machine to human, human to machine, it became logical to try to apply this expertise, if I could, to the healthcare space. And surgery seemed the most right for something like what we were picturing, in that there's a lot of different moving parts coming together in that operating room in terms of different doctors and nurses, technicians, equipment, obviously the patient. Patient has to be ready for surgery. What does that mean? When you're an outsider, all those things are like, oh, very complicated thing. And it turns out it's not just because we're outsiders. It is complicated. There are a lot of moving parts. High performance hospital of today is really doing something very complicated, and often in a certain unexpectedly sad way, with a deficit of modern software tools to facilitate that journey. And when I say deficit, I have a background, as I said, in other forms of industrial process control, other industries, started out of manufacturing, went to electric power. I've seen the way in which process control tools help other industries. And for various, I'd say, good reasons, it's been slower to impact surgery. And so that was the initial kernel of the idea, is how can we bring software into the mix, not as another burden, not as more data entry. What you'll often see right now in the hospital is very important, well-intentioned efforts to add more record keeping, right? Because data collection's good, right? If you can collect enough data, you can study the data, and then you can start improving the process. But unfortunately, a lot of the data being collected is by typing. So people went into healthcare wanting to help people are like, wow, so I'm going to spend more of my day typing to help people, which, you know, there's a logic to it. It's not perverse, but it's disappointing if your focus was always on the people side. And so part of what we focused on was, how are we going to reduce the amount of manual entry? How are we going to automate data collection? How are we going to instrument this complex journey from the first meeting in a consult with a surgeon where you might decide to have surgery, through the process of tests and workups and things getting you ready, to showing up in the right place at the right time without having eaten or whatever the instructions were, day of surgery, getting you through that surgical case smoothly, making sure the room's ready before the patient's even in the room, so that when the patient's there and obviously more exposed, you're in one of those, you know, little paper things or whatever, and the room, you know, the longer you're out under anesthesia without anyone doing anything to you, the worse it is for everyone. So the goal was to get the patient in there totally ready, have the room be totally ready, and then help the team with automation can focus on the patient and the care, and not on the, call it, the note taking or bookkeeping. So that was the vision.
When you set out this vision, live data was already operational in another domain, right?
Correct. We were operational in the electric power domain. And as an entrepreneur, I had to make some decisions about what to do about all this. And so I decided we would actually sell that division as our goal and double down, if you will, in the healthcare piece as part of that pivot point in my life. And so I recruited someone I knew from our community here in the Boston area, great guy who came in and ran that division as a division of live data, and built it up to the point where we were able to successfully sell it to Oracle, which we did right at the beginning of the pandemic, which was everyone was sort of figuring out, well, we're all working from home, especially the very sophisticated law firm Oracle used, they were having to adjust their practices to, being from home. Is I think everyone did a really good job of adapting, and so we sold that division and now focus exclusively on our surgical product.
Now, if we look at the world of healthcare, and obviously you've become very intimate with it, and you understand not just the technological complexity, but it sounds like you have a great deal of respect for the human aspect of it, right? You mentioned a few times, and it really resonated across the screen how respectful you are of the experience of the patient throughout this, and that your job from the software end is to augment their experience and to aid them in a hopefully good and peaceful transition. how do you then bring software into this complicated world? I mean, highly regulated, highly underserved, perhaps, it sounds like, from what you were observing. It doesn't sound that easy to integrate.
Well, I guess I get to pat myself on the back. You know, it's very hard. Well, it actually is pretty hard. I think it was harder than I could have imagined. Quick background for those who, just to give you a few conceptual things to for my answer, okay? But like the primary dominant software package in a hospital or surgery center is the electronic health record, or EHR. And over the last 10 plus years, there's been a lot of money and attention paid to getting hospitals onto an electronic health record, off the paper chart, onto a system. The government got involved, the federal government created a reimbursement incentive schemes to help the industry move forward. You know, where capital is often tight, believe it or not, despite the huge percent of the GDP we spend on healthcare, it's hospitals run on lean margins. And so that system of record is now pretty well ensconced. And so part of finding a way in for us was to realize, well, that the other industries have learned that there's a notion of a system of engagement that sits on top of a system of record and lets you do some of the more people-centric processes that don't replace the vital record keeping, which serves many different regulatory and risk and other interests, but lets you add things quicker to serve the human side of the equation. And the human side can be both patient and staff. And staff satisfaction in today's world is also quite vital if you're concerned with patient satisfaction, because you need to have sufficient staff to take care of those patients, and they have to feel like they're being given the support they deserve by their institution to get the job done properly. So that system of engagement was the conceptual round hole we wanted to fit a round peg into. And then we focused on specific areas in the surgical workflow. Now this gets specific to us, where we perceived opportunities to really make an improvement. So one area we focused on is the safe surgery checklist. We actually started working on an electronic checklist system before Atul Gawande and others from the Brigham and World Health Organization did the safe surgery checklist study that provided strong evidence for the really important usefulness of checklists in surgery. And for people not familiar, the basic idea of this kind of checklist is it's a lot like in the airline industry. The idea is, hey, before we take off or before we take a knife to this human body in front of us, we make sure some basics are really all set and known. Do we know who the patient is? Do we know which side of the body we're operating on? Do we know about any significant allergies that might make a tool inappropriate or a technique? And this kind of checklist can be done many different ways. All you really need is a piece of paper and people committed to stopping and doing it. But I realized that given the onslaught of record keeping, there was an opportunity to do the checklist electronically in a way that was simpler than having a nurse in the room typing into the record. And I didn't plan my, it's a product thing. I don't know if you can see this.
Yeah, got it. Yeah.
It's just a PowerPoint clicker, right? But what we worked on was a scheme whereby the nurse in the room who's not scrubbed in, the so-called circulating nurse, could use a clicker standing by the patient with the anesthesiologist and the surgeon and the scrub nurses and lead a checklist process electronically on a board at the foot of the patient on the wall just by clicking And when they're done, the system pushes that data into the system of record, into the EHR. So we've created something that's both engaged and real in terms of everyone focusing on the patient at that moment, the way the whole industry agrees should happen, yet is actually easier to do than treating it as yet another thing to document. And so we moved it from document to doing, reduced the amount of time it takes to do the documenting part, increased the, you know, obviously you can't get inside the heads of everyone, but we believe increased the meaningful execution of the checklist. And it's been, we've been, our system's been observed now at several hospitals by Joint Commission surveyors when they survey the surgical practice, and it's been written up as a best practice, which we're very proud of. Well, you don't get a prize or extra money or something, but you know, back to the entrepreneurial motivations, you know, one of them is, are we going to make a difference? And so that was our moment when we realized we were no longer just reasonably smart software people with our noses pressed up against the window looking in. We're actually part of the space doing something useful. And that kind of snowballed into other things we've been doing in that surgical journey from way before the day of surgery to the day to after. And that's what we're all about. I would add to that patient safety story that part of the thing we're doing to help the hospital and the staff is we're trying to help make the sometimes opaque hospital systems easier for surgeons in the community. We're often wondering, hey, can I bring my patient to this hospital this Tuesday or next Tuesday? They might be sitting in a clinic with you and try to schedule, you know, and figure out what's available when. And that kind of inside the hospital, outside the hospital flow, you know, sure, if every surgeon's an employee of the hospital, they just go into the one EHR together. But plenty of times in the U.S., we've got, you know, private practices, they're not necessarily permission to go look into the EHR that way. And so we provided them a really easy way to do that with our software, which again, the same rules of engagement then pushes the data into the EHR. So we're not breaking hospital workflow, we're augmenting it and in effect making it easier to do business with the hospital. And that is good for patients because it means every last available minute is now available. So you're booked for surgery sooner and it's more assured when and what time and will it really start on time and all that stuff. So there's kind of a whole lean process involved here of if everything's run properly, it's both more efficient and yields better financial results for the hospital. And it's also safer because things are running in a reproducible, correct way.
Well, this is so cool and so fascinating, and your personal respect and commitment to this space and to making a difference, it really comes through. What has been the number one most fulfilling or inspiring piece for you in this journey?
Well, you know, there are a lot of different impacts that I felt personally. I would say the most proud thing for us is we started selling at the Veterans Administration, VHA health system. And at this point, we've sold with an excellent partner, DSS in Florida. We've sold 100 VA hospitals our solution, and you know, going from again that sense of wanting to make a difference to knowing that we're impacting for the good the care of so many U.S. veterans has really been a source of pride.
Jeff, I want to thank you for the time and for the privilege and honor of letting me hear this and share this with the world. I really appreciate it. And you know, you talked about the entrepreneurial journey a few times, and I think that you really exemplify and the uniqueness of the journey of being able to take something that you're personally so passionate about and excited about and bringing it to the world, pivoting the company if needed and doubling down where you truly care about, and then committing to making a difference by actually being there and being on the court and acknowledging where the pitfalls are and where the difficulties are, but doing them and winning. And so I think that that's just a great, great, great perspective and a takeaway here for me. So Jeff, I really want to thank you and continuing best of luck with Live Data and with everything you're doing. Continue making a positive impact on everything you're involved with. And thank you very much.
And Michael, thank you very much. This has been a pleasure.